Christ is risen. Nope. So I'll teach you it. It's the Easter greeting, which goes back to the most ancient days of the Christians, the earliest Christians, and even throughout much of the Christian world today in Greece and all parts of Europe, they'll still greet one another with this greeting. Someone says, Christ is risen. And the response to that is, truly, he is risen. So Christ is risen. It's a proclamation of this day that Christ is risen. We hear that. And the response that we give is the response of faith. The response that we give is the deep proclamation of ourselves that that is true. Truly, he is risen. That on this Easter morning, we celebrate that the deceiver has been deceived. That the thief, death itself, has been robbed of its victory. That our God is the God of life, and he has conquered the prince of darkness. That this culmination of this morning, of these three Triduum days, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and the celebration of Easter, which began last night in the vigil and continues in jubilation this morning. But for three of those days, we celebrate the Paschal Triduum. And for two of them, it appeared as if evil had won. Which is another way of saying it appeared as if evil had held on to the power it had already had, the power of death. That the evil one truly believed after Good Friday that he had won. He had held on to his power. But to see and to consider these three Triduum days from the perspective of the evil one, that on Holy Thursday, he sees this Son of God and Son of Man washing the feet down on the ground and washing the feet of the one who would betray him. He saw him in the garden, sweating blood, praying to his Father, Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. And the evil one sees this, and he sees confirmed within him everything that he believes, the great lie that caused him to fall away, that the Father sees this and he doesn't care. The Father just lets him die. And then on Good Friday, the evil one sees that this one who came into the world as the good shepherd to bring together the lost sheep and to go out and to seek those who were lost, that he himself, now in the great irony, the one who came to draw all to God through himself, is abandoned. That the sheep, they've all scattered, all of his apostles except for one. They've abandoned him. One can endure great suffering. One can endure massive amounts of suffering if they're not suffering alone. But here he is, and he's abandoned. And then he dies and is laid in the tomb. And the evil one truly believed that the victory was still his. And on Holy Saturday, while Jesus' body lay dead in the tomb, his soul descended into hell. We pray this when we pray the Creed, that his soul descended into hell, and he burst through the gates of hell, and the evil one saw that he was being raided of all his power. And Jesus came and he harrowed hell. He brought out from there all the just who had died for those thousands upon thousands of years. Remember, before Jesus, before his paschal sacrifice of these last 3 days, There was no heaven. There was no union with God. And if you died, the most just people we read about in Scripture, they died in separation from God. And so Jesus, with all the power we hear about in the Acts that Peter proclaims was laid upon him, he goes and he bursts through the gates of hell and he draws out from there the just. Abel, Abraham, John the Baptist, his foster father Joseph. He brings them out from hell, all those who are just. And then last night, having harrowed hell, the Father spoke the words that he spoke through his Son in the very beginning. Let there be light. And he spoke these words into his Son, and he breathed into him as he had breathed into the first man this breath of life. And Jesus, who was dead, rose to life from the grave. You guys have seen images or heard about the Shroud of Turin. This shroud that we hear about in the gospel, that as they came and they saw the empty tomb, what was there? This shroud which Jesus had been wrapped in. And the Shroud of Turin shows this photo-negative image of Jesus himself at the moment of the resurrection, in which every bit of light that God had spoken into being in creation was spoken into his Son. And the burst of light which came forth from within this dead corpse left this imprint of this image of Jesus in this shroud, which is now in turn Italy. The burst of energy of that light was greater than that of a nuclear bomb. So great was the power of the resurrection that Jesus, who had crushed the gates of hell and who had conquered death itself, has liberated us from death, from sin, and from darkness. But even with all the great power that he came and overtook the evil one, and he came and forced himself into hell to draw out all the just, and he crushed death, with every bit of power, he who has liberated us from that will not overpower your will. He will not overpower your will. Meaning the victory has been won. Death no longer has any hold over us. But he won't force us into that. Instead, it requires our act of faith that we hear in the empty tomb, Christ is risen. And our act of faith is not just hearing that, not just even believing that in our minds, but being able to respond from the depth of your being, truly, he is risen. Truly, he is risen. Do you guys know what Stockholm Syndrome is? Some of you heard of Stockholm Syndrome? It's this crazy thing where someone who has been kidnapped will form a psychological connection with their captor, with the one who is holding them in this hell. And they'll grow this sympathy for the one who has them held hostage. Sometimes even after they're freed, they're being held hostage for, let's say, 2 weeks, a couple days, whatever it might be, and then they're freed, they're liberated, and they won't testify against the one who held them captive, or even those victims of abuse and all sorts of things. It's this Stockholm Syndrome. They grow this sympathy for the devil, even though they've been liberated. Because they've begun to let those lies of the one who held them captive sink into them. And this can still be our lives even after we've been liberated through the sacrament of baptism and the act of faith in God, that we can still allow the areas of death to keep existing within our soul. We can keep believing the lies of the deceiver. That you can look out into the world and you can begin to have sympathy for the devil, saying, all of this evil is going on. Where is God in the midst of it? Is he really good as he says? Is he really going to come through with his promise and bring life where it seems there's only death? You can look into the darkness of your own life and you can see these areas which God, though he bursts through the gates of hell, will not force himself into those areas of death which can remain within us. Because love doesn't force itself upon us. Love doesn't act that way. Instead, it's one in which we must respond, not just once, but every day of our lives, truly he is risen. Because you have been liberated, you have every bit of the power of Christ within you to speak to the evil one and the prince of darkness, and to say in Jesus' name, be gone. I reject Satan. I reject all of his empty show. I reject all of his empty promises. And in professing that faith in God, in saying again and again, truly he is risen. Truly he is risen. This darkness does not win. This darkness which is pressing in upon you does not win unless you let it, because God will not force himself on you though he has all this power. It does not win. Death doesn't win. Christ has crushed it. But now he offers it to us through the empty tomb. Christ is risen. Through the witness and the testimony of the apostles, Christ is risen. He is not dead anymore. Through him, if you live through him and you follow him with the whole entirety of your lives, you will not die forever. That the sorrow of seeing someone's corpse at a funeral, which is horrid, that's not the end, but life is. To see that and then to believe that and profess it, truly he is risen. To not listen to the lies of the deceiver, because he has been crushed and all he has now are lies. But we have the truth that is Jesus Christ, and to be able to say, truly he is risen. This is the great joy of this day. This is the glory of this day. This is the greatest day of our Christian faith, because from it we are able to receive every bit of the power which raised Jesus from the dead. The great proclamation of this day is that Christ is risen. Christ is risen.